In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a 7-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
And with that, welcome in to the Orange and Brown Report. I am your host, Jared Mueller. Thank you for stopping by this Thanksgiving edition of the OBR. You can always get a hold of me at Jared K. Mueller on Twitter. You can also get a hold of the site at the OBR and go to theobr.com for all the great stuff that is there from all of our amazing, amazing staff. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. And I want to jump right in, but first I want to talk to you about Indeed. 2020 has reshaped how we worked, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. 73% of all online job seekers in the U.S. are visiting Indeed each month, according to ComScore, so it's clear Indeed can help you get the quality hire you need. That's why more than 3 million businesses worldwide use Indeed for hiring. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Right now, go to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer is valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Since this is Thanksgiving, I'm really just going to kind of shoot from the hip of what I'm thankful for. And a little bit's going to come from, obviously a lot of it's going to be about the Browns. But I will probably talk a little bit from a mental health perspective and just try to be an encouragement in this time that is so different and so weird. But first, a little bit of water, because you know, water is good for you and everything. So many of you will be listening to this while waiting for Thanksgiving meal, have already eaten. Maybe you'll be listening to it the day after Thanksgiving. But hopefully you are doing what is best, right? And so as a society, we all have the opportunity to make different changes. And based on the information we have available, based on what is important to us, based on what we value, we are all making those decisions. And I pray that all of you are making those decisions and you feel like you are making the best decisions for yourself. And that is the only thing that we can ask, is that you are making quality and good decisions. And as I ask at the end of every podcast, hopefully you are taking care of yourself and taking care of others, right? Where we encourage selflessness. I think as Browns fans, we can long ago realize that we are a unique breed, right? We care deeply, we're loyal, all of those kind of things. And I want to encourage that, that loyalty to each other, that loyalty to your future self, that you will always be able to look back and feel like you made the best decision you could given the information that you had. And so on this Thanksgiving, as things are not, for many of us, are not the way they've always been, hopefully you're able to be thankful for what is. And, you know, from a mental health perspective, it's something I spend a lot of time talking to my clients about, is I can't control the weather. Why would I spend a lot of energy on it? Now, if I want to move, that's a different conversation, right? But that's still not controlling the weather. That's controlling something about myself. The same thing with COVID. The reality is there's very little about it that we can have total control over, but we can make good decisions. That's where our power does lie. So it's not about our power being taken away. It's about our power shifting. And it's about appreciating that if you do have the opportunity, if you do have the ability to do things safely through social networking, through other things, that you're willing and able to do those things, and being thankful for what you do have the power over. There are many of us who, whether it's our part-time, full-time jobs, family jobs, or whatever, don't have the opportunity to avoid, right? So there's this fun little push towards finally appreciating our frontline workers, whether that's doctors and nurses or the cash register people or the bagger or teachers, all people that, you know, for a long time at some level have not been given the respect that maybe they deserve for everything they do. And so appreciating them that they don't generally have the opportunity to just not go into work, not interact with the public, having to deal with people who are unhappy during these very difficult times. And so, again, for them and for those of you who have the opportunity to work from home and the opportunity to stay safe or the finances to not have to do things, I hope you're able, all of that group, everybody in between, find something to be thankful for or find things to be thankful for. Focusing your energy on what is and not what is not. What is not is outside of our control, generally speaking. So it's about focusing on what is within your control. And that's where I'm going to focus my energy right now is starting off just kind of talking about, again, just kind of off the hip, off the cusp, what are some of the things that I'm so thankful for with the Cleveland Browns? And obviously this is a little easier when the Cleveland Browns are 7-3. So the first thing I'm thankful for is a Cleveland Browns team with a winning record, because it is long ago and far away that I can remember eating on Thanksgiving and thinking about the Browns winning and winning on a regular basis. I talked about in the pod at the victory pod, victory number 7 pod. I talked about how the Browns have controlled games, controlled their wins, right? They're not getting lucky at the last minute. And a majority of the time, they have been leading these games. Now, obviously, teams have come back, but we're used to the Browns chasing victories and falling short. And that's what a lot of teams have done this year against the Browns. They've chased a victory. They've tried to catch up and have fallen short. And so I'm thankful not only that the Browns are 7-3, but I'm thankful about how the Browns have won their games. Now, obviously, their losses to Baltimore and Pittsburgh were huge. Their loss to Las Vegas, again, kind of call them Oakland a ton of times. I apologize for that. But their loss to Las Vegas was an interesting weather game. No excuse, because they won an interesting weather game against Houston. They won another interesting weather game against Philadelphia. So they're 2-3 in really interesting weather games. But the reality is those three losses are three losses, right? How they lost is telling. It tells me the Browns are at a second tier, right? I don't think they're at the same tier as the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't even think they're at the same tier as the Baltimore Ravens, even though right now they have a better record, because quality of team and record aren't always equal to each other. And so I'm just thankful that the Cleveland Browns are 7-3 and that they're controlling the games that they've won. They're not lucky to pull off a victory. You know, in a lot of ways, it doesn't even seem like they're lucky when it comes to injuries or flukes or any of those kind of things. You know, they are 7-3 despite of a lot of things. And in that is something that I want to celebrate. Along with that, I'm going to start really as far at the top as I feel like I can. Listen, some people will be thankful for Jimmy Haslam. I think he has a long way to go to prove that things are different for him. But the highest member of the Browns organization that I can be thankful for is Paul DePodesta. Has he been perfect? No. But we also know that DePodesta, when him and Sashi Brown were hired and then Hugh Jackson was hired, it was set up for failure for all sides. Right? It's easy to blame Hugh Jackson. It's easy to blame Sashi Brown. The reality is the setup was a setup, right? They were set up, each of them having different interests, different desires, different things they were looking for. And that setup was a setup for the Cleveland Browns. But Paul DePodesta has made it through. And he finally was able to, and again, this isn't about analytics, but the vision of having everybody on the same page, rowing the boat in the same direction, having collaboration, having everybody basically unified. Paul DePodesta, I am thankful for. Now, obviously, one of the other areas that Paul DePodesta has put his foot in his mouth, possibly, or at least said something, is related to Carson Wentz. And I've covered this, and we just played, just had the Browns play the Philadelphia Eagles, and so we've just saw Carson Wentz. But the reality is Paul DePodesta may not have been exactly right, but Carson Wentz has not been producing like a top 5, top 10 quarterback. He is closer to that the top 20, and there are a lot of people over the last week who have been calling for his benching, not short-term benching, but a long-term benching. So I am thankful for Paul DePodesta and everything that he has done that then leads us to Andrew Berry, right? Andrew Berry hasn't had a perfect offseason. Obviously, there was more that I think he wanted to do. There's proof in that in the reports that he chased Jadeveon Clowney. There's proof in the reports that he chased Yannick Ngakoue. We know recently over the last, I think three times now, he's tried to claim Tack McKinley. So he knows there are some limits to at least the defensive line and the pass rush. Last game with Olivier Vernon and Adrian Claiborne, they were able to get a little bit more out of that pass rush. But in general, there is some weaknesses. But Andrew Berry remade the offense this year, starting with Jack Conklin and Austin Hooper, finishing up with Jedrick Wills as the left tackle, and knowing that Jedrick Wills was somehow just going to make that change with Bill Callahan, Joe Thomas helping him out, was going to be able to move from the right side to the left side and play very, very well in his first season starting as the left tackle for the Cleveland Browns. Andrew Berry has made some very, very good moves. Obviously, there are things that haven't gone well, but again, in one off season, he wasn't going to change the world. How different would this team look like if Grant Delpit did not get injured? How different would this team look like if Andrew Billings had not decided to opt out? Again, no judgment of either of those for Andrew Berry, but how different could this team look? And now the excitement of a 7-3 team pushing forward, looking like a two or a double-digit win team this season, most likely, or odds are. That's a lot to be excited about for what Andrew Berry can do next offseason, and that is something I'm thankful for, that I get to look forward to an offseason where I believe that the general manager is continuing to make really good moves to improve the Cleveland Browns. Another thing that I am thankful for is our sponsors. I'm thankful for Blue Wire allowing us this opportunity to share with you Browns fans, just thoughts from the OBR, thoughts from me, thoughts from Steven and Fred yesterday and Jake, and just, all that we're able to do. And part of that is our sponsors. And so I want to thank Pepsi. And thanks to natural athleticism and or maybe lack of commitment, or lack of overrating sports parents, or lack of money, or whatever. Fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, we've all joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. And listen, we're hoping that we have a Browns game this week. We don't even know who's going to be able to play, but in the end, a win's going to be a win, hopefully, right? And so we're excited to watch that. We're excited to have a 7-3 team going into to face a one-win Jacksonville team. And Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. And you can go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Pepsi, made for football watching. So I've already told you that I am thankful for the 7-3 team. I'm thankful for Paul D. Podesta and Andrew Berry. And I'm thankful to Blue Wire. And I'm thankful for the sponsors. You know, to be honest, before I continue on some of the team stuff, I am thankful for the OBR and the team that I am a part of. You know, this, for some of you may not know this, I've been covering professional sports for over a decade now, starting with a little site called Factory of Sadness and moving all the way through, and now have the pleasure and honor of carrying the torch and being a part of carrying the torch of the OBR, which started a long time ago as Bernie's Insiders. That was a huge part of really inundating the NFL with faxes and emails and all kinds of things back in the day when that guy, Art Modell, that's the word I'm going to use as being a nice guy and being thankful, took the team away. You know, the OBR, Barry and Lane and all of the guys that were involved then and some of the guys still involved now were highly involved in making sure the NFL knew that Cleveland needed a sports team, needed an NFL team. And so I'm really thankful to be a part of the OBR. There's so many interesting people there, whether it's a professional comedian and Stephen Thomas, who just loves the NFL draft. You know, I'm going to forget people. I always do. And so I'm going to actually stop right now. You guys know the OBR staff is amazing. They're professional. They're funny. They're good at what they do, led by, obviously, Barry as the boss. And so I'm just so thankful for the opportunity. And in that, I'm thankful for all of you. You know, all of you that come to the site, that click on these podcasts, that listen to these podcasts, that subscribe, like, comment, all that stuff that I guess I'm supposed to say that I don't ever say on this podcast, but then go to the site and go in our forums and the community that is a part of the OBR forums and everything. They allow our site to live. They allow our site to continue to have legitimacy amongst the sea of lots of other things. And listen, legitimacy is one thing. Other people go for clicks. Other people just want to have an opportunity to share what they think. And everybody has an opportunity in this world now to share. But the OBR over the years, and because it's been around so long, and because of the staff involved, have been able to achieve legitimacy, that we belong amongst those who belong, right? That a Jake Burns can be at a press conference and ask questions of the coaches and gain the coaches' respect because he understands the game. Right, that Fred Greatham can tell a story this week about a personal letter that Bill Belichick wrote him. There is legitimacy to the OBR, and it's because of readers and listeners like you. And so I'd want to tell you that on this Thanksgiving, I am so thankful for you guys as well, for all that you do to allow our site to continue. The reality is, in the world that we live in, advertising isn't enough always, and that's why more and more people are focused on clicks, because if it used to be that I needed 100, now I need like 10,000, and you know, those things happen. And so I'm especially thankful for people who subscribe. Listen, the reality is of the subscription model, there are people that have gone to that, The Athletic and all kinds of other great people have done it. You guys have stayed with us. Information comes and goes. There are times where, unfortunately, we just are not able to. We don't have information. We don't make up information for things like the Rumor Central. Used to be the Fast Lane. It's been a whole lot of other things. But we are here for you, and we appreciate you subscribers who get unique access to things from Jake and Jonathan and me sometimes, and access to the Ask the Insiders and all of those things. So I thank you for all of you who have stuck with us through the ups and downs to allow, again, the site to continue. But back to the Browns, the team that we all love. And so, you know, we talked about it with Fred this week. I'm so thankful for Kevin Stefanski. I'm thankful for somebody who isn't a gimmick guy. It isn't just a flash in the pan. You have to remember, and something that I think is so important, remember that Paul D. Podesta wanted to hire Kevin Stefanski after he had 4 games as an offensive coordinator. Because it wasn't about how he was as an offensive coordinator that drew Paul D. Podesta to Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry at the time when he was with the team before he went to Philadelphia for 1 year. It was who he was as a man, as a coach, as a communicator, as a leader. And we are seeing that. We are seeing a coach who is generally unflappable. Now, is he perfect? No. This is his first time doing it, and he didn't have an offseason, all the things we've gone over. But I am thankful for a coach who looks like a coach who can be around for a long time. Again, is he perfect? No. The reality is hopefully Browns fans understand that given Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson's of the world, Ben Roethlisberger's right now, all of that, the Cleveland Browns over the next 4 to 5 years may not ever make it to the Super Bowl, may not ever win a Super Bowl, but they still may have a competent coach. And everything we've seen makes us believe, because it's not about the record, right? The record is nice, but it's about the competency. It's about the communication. It's when you see the videos, you're not seeing somebody who looks like they're out of their depth. You look like somebody who's ready to be an NFL head coach. And so I'm very thankful for Kevin Stefanski. And then we go on the field and listen. Offensive line, defensive line, those are two areas that are always going to be or often going to be undervalued unless they're bad. Right, Mitchell Schwartz is a great example. Browns fans undervalued Mitchell Schwartz until he left. And then all of a sudden they saw what they were missing, right? And so offensive line, you know, from left to right across the board, Jack Conklin and Joel Bitonio and J.C. Treader and Wyatt Teller with his amazing season, and then all the way over to Jack Conklin. I am so thankful for an offensive line that I can be proud of, an offensive line that is, they're not crazy people, they're not, you know, they're not flash in the pan. They do their job. They do a solid job on that offensive line. And then a defensive line, while there's going to be a need starting next offseason, Myles Garrett being the best defensive end, the best defensive end in the NFL, and I believe that to be true, Myles Garrett is the best defensive end in the NFL. He is an amazing player, and he is a Cleveland Brown for, what, 6 more seasons? At least, generally, and based on a contract, I am thankful to have the best defensive end in the NFL. And at this point, fighting with Aaron Donald for the best defensive player in the NFL, I'm very thankful for having the opportunity to cover, and as a person that grew up as a Browns fan and is a fan today still, to cheer for and root for and be excited for Myles Garrett. And hopefully he comes back healthy after COVID. COVID, obviously, and health is the most important thing. And then, you know, the rest of the roster. Like, listen, I know you guys want, and everybody wants Baker Mayfield to be Pat Mahomes. You want him to be a Russell Wilson. You want him to be a Drew Brees, a Tom Brady. I'm thankful for that. I have seen such improvement from Baker Mayfield in all the nuances of the game. Listen, is he perfect? Is he pressing sometimes? Is he making bad throws? Sure, absolutely. Watch him and his ball fakes and all of that kind of stuff while he is running fakes. Watch his body language. Watch the details of how he runs those fakes. Watch the details on how Baker Mayfield has very, very much limited his turnovers this year. And it's gotten better as the year has gone on. I am thankful for Baker Mayfield. I'm thankful for a backfield that can remind us of Kevin Mack and Ernest Byner. You know, Chubb and Hunt, two different players. I'm thankful that Andrew Berry locked up Hunt, right? It allows him to not be worried about his health and you know, was he getting carries or not getting carries. And he loves Ohio, right? Like, he just does. And so we know injuries and age and all that stuff can affect running backs. I am so thankful for those two running backs. I am thankful for Jarvis Landry. While his contract is huge and he has had up and down games, listen, that guy is a warrior. He doesn't miss games. He is consistent. Obviously, he's had some drops this year, but he cares. And I think from a cultural perspective, listen, I value that. As a mental health guy, like, I value what he has done for the Browns culture. I think he matters significantly and bluntly. Odell Beckham Jr. is not a Cleveland Brown if Jarvis Landry isn't here. That just wouldn't have happened. Wouldn't have happened. Wouldn't have happened. The Browns, John Dorsey would not have traded for him if he knew Odell Beckham Jr. didn't want to come to Cleveland, but he did because of Jarvis Landry. And so I am thankful for Odell Beckham Jr. I'm thankful for Austin Hooper, David Njoku, Harrison Bryant. Listen, they're not perfect tight ends. Listen, Hooper is not some dynamic 80-yard tight end. He is a solid, consistent tight end. He's going to be where he needs to be, and he's going to be a best friend to Baker Mayfield. On the defensive side of the ball. Oh, sorry, I'm going to continue. Wide receivers, Kadarius Hodge, he's looking like a guy who can make some plays. Rashard Higgins, this is probably his swan song in Cleveland, but I'm thankful for his consistency. When he is called on, that dude is ready to go. Andy Janovich is the fullback. Listen, I just like having a fullback that can catch passes, that can block. He does make a difference, even if he's not in there a ton of time. On the defensive side of the ball, it's not as strong, right? Sheldon Richardson, as a veteran, makes plays. He is not the explosive guy. He is not the game wrecker that Aaron Donald is, but he is where he needs to be most of the time. Makes a lot of effort plays that people don't give him credit for at times. Denzel Ward, Kevin Johnson. Denzel Ward, like, that just is, right? Obviously, injuries are a concern, but there's give and take, right? It's like a big play wide receiver who drops the ball sometimes. You want that big play wide receiver, even though he drops the ball sometimes. Denzel Ward, he's had some injury issues. He's still a great cornerback when he's out there, and he's out there pretty regularly. Again, he got cleated, we believe, which led to that. That's not something that just, you know, listen, anybody's muscle can get really jacked up from a cleat, right? So Kevin Johnson on the inside, I'm really intrigued by what the Browns do with him next offseason, but he